Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, I want to share with you the commission of the ministry that God gave to Joseph Hedgecock, the founder of Servants of the Lord Ministries, many years ago. God said, I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time. Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know him and grow up in him and be ready for his appearing. Today I'm sharing a message about handling the word of life. John said in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. This is 1 John chapter 1, I'm reading verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. Verse 2, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 4, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. The word handled in Strong's is number 5584. This comes from the base of another word which means to manipulate, that is, verify, by contact, figuratively to search for, feel after, handle, or touch. John experienced the word of life because he was following Christ. Those trying to come to truth with their minds get nothing because they have to see to believe. John discovered he was carnal when he met Jesus, but got grace and truth to repent as he followed Christ. With the gift of eternal life, you can also ask more questions and get an answer instantly if you're following Christ. John was writing to the church because he wanted everyone to experience the same joy he had of walking with Jesus in all areas through the Holy Spirit. Everyone born again should be passing on what they have handled of the word of life, following Jesus personally. Joseph Hedgecock wrote down and recorded the essential truths that he discovered in the book My Sheep Hear My Voice, of how to get to know God personally. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm reading verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, 1 John 1 verse 2 says, and the life, an aspect of his being, was revealed, made manifest, demonstrated. And we saw, as eyewitnesses, and are testifying to and declare to you the life, the eternal life, in him who already existed with the Father and who actually was made visible, was revealed to us, his followers. Timothy was told to live like a soldier with the grace of God to hear and get his instructions. Use the grace to live controlled by the Spirit and you will experience something to pass on to others as well. We read in Isaiah 55, verses 11 to 13. This is in the book of Isaiah 55, I'm reading verse 11. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. Verse 12. For you shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Verse 13. instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. God is faithful, transmitting his perfect will for all those led and controlled by the Spirit. If you lose the joy of the Lord and the peace of God, you know you're missing God's divine plan. Man using the knowledge of good and evil only destroys what God created and planned. We read in Isaiah 55 and verse 3. This is in the book of Isaiah 55, and reading verse 3. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. By grace you can experience the everlasting covenant now, through a relationship with God. Incline your ear. Come to the Father through Christ alone. If you've been using your mind to make decisions, admit you are living in darkness. You need mercy to fulfill God's plan for your life. Learning to hear, trust, and obey, you'll be given what David experienced fighting many battles for God. John wrote in 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 7. This is in 1 John chapter 1, and reading verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. God has no favorites, wrong motives, or hidden agendas. Jesus' death restored the connection between God and all mankind. Everyone can now repent from dead works and set him or herself free with the truth. Two people cannot walk together unless they agree. If you deviate a fraction from the truth, taking a slightly parallel path by leaning to your own understanding, you will eventually drift further and further away from God and others over time who are following Christ. To sin, you have to stop trusting God with all your heart. Paul explained in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 16. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6, and reading verse 16. Who only have immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. If God is not who he says he is, then we would all be lost. God is perfect and checks himself with himself to make sure he's not changing. God knows all your sins, but does not condemn you. Those who walk in the light are grateful and respond promptly to correction. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 13, I'm reading verse 5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? Your faith is working properly if you're asking God in all areas of your life and not consulting your own will. Correction is what brings you back to the narrow way. Some need it more than others, but conviction is always a blessing. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 13. This is Ephesians chapter 5 and reading verse 13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatever doth manifest is light. The word reproved in Strong's is number 1651. Of uncertain affinity means to confute, admonish, convict, convince, tell a fault, rebuke, or reprove. You cannot come to truth without conviction. Light is daily revelation from God that you need to live and experience his love personally. God uses pressure too. Rejoice when your flesh is uncomfortable, as this is the enemy of your soul. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 to 21. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, And read verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20. Now then, when we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray, you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He will help you repent deeply and overcome the lies in your heart. Keep a sin list and make sure you are getting to the root issues. You will enjoy the process of transformation if you do not yield to the flesh or react. By denying yourself, all things will pass away from lack of use. Make no excuse for sin, and you'll have enough time to process any conviction and remove it easily. The moment you are convicted, you get the maximum amount of grace to repent and let it go. Do not cut yourself off from this grace by getting offended at God. You should be jealous of those who are getting more conviction. Without this, you cannot grow spiritually. Do not just confess your sin because you have to. Those who judge God or resist conviction for the sake of their own ideas and opinions are not ambassadors of Christ. Only those on the narrow way reconciled to God become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 13 and 14. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6, and read verse 13. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickens all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Verse 14. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you defending the truth or lies? Jesus did not do anything to defend or save himself, standing in front of Pontius Pilate, and he is the truth. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and reading verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. With all the information, the flesh cannot make the right choice because it's corrupt. Today, the most foolish thing to hear is someone giving God advice on what he ought to do. Paul wanted to know why God's people were still using their minds when they had access to God by grace. You can have the mind of Christ too, but not if you consult your own will. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. This is Hebrews chapter 6 and reading verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Listen to the flesh and you'll do more dead works. We are not following a list of rules. We are following Christ. To reach perfection, the doctrines of Christ must be applied to every area of your own life. A fear of suffering can stop you from growing up spiritually and handling the word of life. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Hebrews 6:1 says, therefore, let us go on and get past the elementary stage in the teachings and doctrines of Christ, the Messiah, advancing steadily towards the completeness and perfection that belong to spiritual maturity. Let us not again be laying the foundation of repentance and abandonment of dead works, dead formalism, and of the faith by which you turn to God. To repent of dead works, you need to find out what you should have done in a pressure situation and why you took over the lordship. God knows why, and you can ask him. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and reading verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith We regulate our lives and conduct ourselves by our conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things. With trust and holy fervor, thus we walk, not by sight or appearance. God's ways require faith in what God said he would do, not what you think he said in the Bible. Regulate your own conclusions with the witness of the Spirit. Those who hear his voice, study, ask more questions, get answers when convicted or corrected, reading the written word. Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. This is in Proverbs chapter 1 and reading verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Without the fear of God, no one can arrive at the truth using the knowledge of good and evil. To get understanding in God's school, you have to trust and obey first with all your heart. This is the first lesson. Those corrected with man's system try to understand with their minds. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 to 15. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and reading verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another build thereupon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. Verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Verse 12. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble. Verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Verse 14. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. In the book Wake Up Time is Running Out, Volume 3, Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 13, on As Your Foundations Deepen, on page 122, Joseph Hitchcock writes, pressure is good for you. You may be tempted to take over lordship and depressurize a difficult situation. However, if you are determined to stand on what God says, his grace will give you the strength you need. Every believer's spiritual foundation can handle pressure to a certain point. If you can handle 1,000 units of pressure, he does not assign you 1,500 units of pressure. If you're stubborn and insist that you can handle more than he requires, he may allow you to fail as part of your training. You will leak, but he will show you how and why you leaked. As you learn from the situation, he will then open another door with the same amount of pressure. Because you have been strengthened and trained, you'll be able to handle it. You can endure pressure with contentment when you trust God. He will not allow you to be tried beyond what you're able to endure, but he will make a way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. Paul was convicted whenever he failed to hear, trust, and obey God in areas of his own life. Make no excuse for keeping his commands. Paul liked the pressure God allowed and did not depressurize the situation by listening to his flesh. Using God's grace, he was asking God more questions and getting answers. As the grace kept flowing, Paul was able to handle more and more of the word of life and able to progress to the next level like a master builder. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm reading verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stands take heed lest he fall. Verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. In the Message Bible, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. All you need to remember is that God will never let you down. He will never let you be pushed past your limit. He'll always be there to help you come through it." You may be tempted to think that you have arrived after hearing God under a low level of pressure in one or two areas. With this thinking, you will deceive yourself and you will fall behind spiritually. Always compare yourself to Christ, who was able to hear God even though he suffered and died. Never compare yourself to someone recently born again. Jesus taught us to pray. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, and reading verse 13. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Pray for doors of opportunity to close where you are not ready or unprepared. God does not want you to be destroyed. There is a war going on now between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light on this earth, and the devil is angry. If you're tempted beyond your ability, it's only because you have a confidence in the flesh. Walk in darkness and lean to your own understanding. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8 and verse 13. This is in the book of Romans chapter 8, reading verse 13. "For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Romans 8:13 says, "For if you live according to the dictates of the flesh, you will surely die. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit, you are habitually putting to death, making extinct, and deadening the evil deeds prompted by the body, you shall surely, really, and genuinely live forever." Choose wisely. Obey the dictates of the Spirit consistently, and the flesh will die unless you are feeding it. To consult your own will, you also have to use your mind. In the flesh, you developed a habit of using your mind to make decisions. Those who believe the flesh cannot be killed believe lies for the sake of their flesh. They like the flesh and resurrect the flesh. When it makes demands like a spoilt child, at the last minute screaming and just about to die. If you believe it is impossible to kill the flesh, it will not die. Everything works by faith. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 11. I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea," verse 2, "and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea," verse 3, "and did all eat the same spiritual meat," verse 4, "and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ," verse 5, "but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness," verse 6. "Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted," verse 7. "Neither be ye idolaters, as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play," verse 8. "Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Verse 9. "Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents." Verse 10. "Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer." Verse 11. "Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." God called his own people to worship him. Carnal desires and lust in the hearts of his people after they left Egypt was the only source of temptation in the wilderness. When they saw the fruit of the rebellion in their own hearts manifest, they perished because they refused to repent deeply. The children of Israel were still thinking about their time in Egypt because they were carnally minded. You are putting Christ in the same way to worship him. You only have your own wicked desires and lust in your heart to overcome if you're truly buried with Christ in baptism. We read in the book of Revelation, chapter 18, verses 3 and 4. This is in the book of Revelation, chapter 18, and reading verse 3. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Verse 4. And heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Judgment has begun in the church already. God is removing those things everyone is holding on to in these last days. Everything is being shaken so his people, with a calling of God on their lives, serving two masters, can wake up, come out of this world system, and live by faith, based on every word that comes from the mouth of the Father. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 7 to 9. This is 1 Peter chapter 1, and reading verse 7. That the trial of your faith being made much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Verse 8. Whom having not seen, ye love, and in whom, though now you see him not, yet yielding, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. In the book Wake Up Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity, in the introduction on pages 5 and 6, Joseph Hedgecott writes, The devil is an expert at influencing God's children to misdirect their faith into ways that seem right. Once he has convinced you to release your faith into a lie, it's easy for him to hinder you from finding the truth or believing it when you do find it. When he succeeds in this endeavor, he has taken you captive. 2 Timothy 2, 26, second part. When you hear a truth, you cannot believe it until you first quit believing the lie you already believe to be truth. Once you recognize the lie and choose to stop believing it, your faith returns to you and you can release it into the truth. This is how you rescue yourself from the snares of the devil. When you release your faith into a thought or idea, you give it the authority to be activated in your life. The author behind what you believe is either God or Satan. It's so important to be careful about what you believe. Your faith can be a blessing or it can be a curse. It depends on what or who you release your faith into. Spend quality time in the presence of the Holy Spirit, asking him to purify your faith by exposing the lies you believe to be truth. This will be time well spent. Your soul is your ability to respond to complicated situations based on what you believe in your heart, not your mind. You will lose your soul serving earthly gain. If you serve Christ, you will gain a confidence in God to deliver you in trials, and your mind will be renewed with God's wisdom. Forget what you have gained in this world and count it as rubbish if you want to save your soul. John wrote in 1 John chapter 2, verses 26 to 28. This is 1 John chapter 2, I'm reading verse 26. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. Verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. For you to come out of Christ, you have been seduced. You accepted lies for the sake of your flesh. You will need someone to teach you who is following Christ at a higher level of pressure, using God's anointing to learn. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24, This is in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, I'm reading verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. The word affections in Strong's is number 3804. This comes from a presumed derivative of another word, means something undergone, that is, hardship or pain. Subjectively, emotion or influence, affection, affliction, motion or suffering. The word lusts in Strong's is number 1939. It comes from another word meaning a longing, especially for what is forbidden, concupiscence, desire, lust after. If you have a heart after God, why are you still trying to serve two masters? Jesus should be your first love after being born again by the Spirit of God. And there are two things that should not be affecting you now. Number one is affections, painful influences or emotions tempting you to do something for the sake of your flesh. Number two, lusts, craving for the same things again and again that God has allowed in his wisdom when you have the grace and truth to resist. Those who belong to Christ check everything with God. The flesh is corrupt and cannot be trusted. Jesus was speaking in John chapter 8, verses 31 to 34. This is in John's Gospel, chapter 8. I'm reading verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 33. They answered him, we are Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Verse 34. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, that whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. You will not come out of the presence of God unless you yield to the flesh and serve sin. If you disobey God under a small amount of pressure, the doctrines of Christ you believe in your head and not in your heart. Do not deceive yourself. What you do under pressure is what you really believe in your heart. Pray for the same trials to reoccur to test your new foundation when you have repented deeply. Those who continue in the word of truth find answers as the pressure increases slowly. They work out their salvation in fear and trembling. Sin can occur at seed level and reappear later as bad fruit. Unless you repent. If you follow his instructions and walk in the light, sin will not manifest at fruit level. Sin can remain at seed level until it is removed through repentance when Jesus is Lord of your life. It is much easier to remove just a seed with God's help than a full-grown tree with all its bad fruit. Sin at seed level with the right pressure from God will appear briefly as a negative thought, so you can recognize it and repent. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 5, verses 25 and 26. This is Galatians chapter 5. I'm reading verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Verse 26. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. In the book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, revised edition in chapter 2, on a good foundation, on pages 13 and 14, Joseph Hedgecott writes, grace manifests when you humble yourself and choose to let Jesus be the Lord of your life. As you submit to him, he will start blessing you with manifestations of himself. He will give you ears to hear what the Spirit is saying before your vessel is really prepared. Strictly because of his grace. God still requires that your vessel be prepared to abide in his presence and walk continually in the Spirit of God. There are no shortcuts. I've spent many years examining every excuse believers have used and have seen multitudes try to hear the Lord without humbling themselves before God and obeying what he requires of them. It does not work. They may seem to bear fruit for a season, but such persons always end up in deception and disillusion with the whole concept of walking with God. They end up having a very superficial relationship with the Lord, and they are unable to hear his voice and be led by his Spirit. Check everything with the witness of the Spirit, not just your personal diary. Do not substitute being led by the Spirit with vain, dead religious works of ministry. You should be seeking to do the works God has planned for your life in all areas. If you're doing anything without God directing it, you are committing the sin of omission. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm reading verse 14. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Verse 15. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in chapter 1, Who Are You? On page 27, Joseph Hedgecott writes, to explain trusting the Lord with all your heart, I use the illustration of a large hotel having 1,000 rooms. Every room is some part of your nature. Maybe in 50 of these rooms you trust God, but you have 950 rooms you do not trust him with. We tend to open the doors one at a time. In one decision, I chose to give God the master key, which opened all 1,000 rooms. He can open any door he wants, any time he wants. Satan tried to deceive me. He said God would open all the doors at once. It'd be overwhelming. He said everything I did wrong would be brought to light at the same time. God does not do that. He starts with one room and has fellowship with you there. Then he deals with another room that hinders you from going to the next level until the room is cleared out. There could be one room with 50 things in it that must be dealt with before that whole room trusts God. He gives you the grace to work on one area at a time. When he decides it's no longer time to work in that room, he shuts the door and locks it. Everything else in that room is covered by grace until it's time for the Spirit to deal with it. It's not held against you. God already sees what is behind every door in your hotel. Why not give him the master key so his work can be completed in you? In this way, you are renewed day by day and become like Christ. It's time to be honest and admit what you have allowed Satan to do because of ignorance, unbelief, or rebellion. An idol is a man-made god that does not speak. Those who believe God is not speaking all the time have idols. Idols are personal areas of your life closed off to God. An idol is like a single room in a hotel that's always unavailable, serving lies for the sake of something you desire. You will miss God's provision, serving dreams and desires of the flesh. In the Amplified Bible, 1 Corinthians 10:14 says, therefore, my dearly beloved, shun, keep away from, avoid by flight if need be, any sort of idolatry, of loving or venerating anything more than God. In the Message Bible, 1 Corinthians 10:14 says, so, my very dear friends, when you see people reducing God to something they can use or control, get out of their company as fast as you can. Those who have a confidence in the flesh think they can handle a bit of temptation to do what they want. A baby Christian influenced by the world's values will get overcome in temptation without prayer. The devil keeps children of God ignorant of how to have fun with God, so they are thrown into a level of temptation in this world they cannot handle and make idols. David wrote in the Psalms, Chapter 11, verses 3 to 7. This is the Psalms, chapter 11, and reading verse 3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Verse 4. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. Verse 5. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hates. Verse 6, upon the wicked he shall rain snares. fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. Verse 7, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, and his countenance doth behold the upright. God has made a way where there seems to be no way for the uncompromisingly righteous. Those who have a relationship with God know he loves righteousness. Use the grace and truth to grow up quickly in the pressure and deal with sin when you see it manifest early, because it will not disappear without repentance. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 to 30. This is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. I'm reading verse 27. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. Verse 28. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Verse 29. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not thy whole body should be cast into hell. Verse 30. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not thy whole body should be cast into hell. In the book Wake Up Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 11, God Sees in Fullness, on page 163, Joseph Hitchcock writes, this may seem extreme to you, but God looks at your thoughts and the intents of your heart. He sees the fullness of every thought you have. He knows the consequences that could manifest as a result of your thoughts. You should have the wisdom to trust him when he convicts you about a thought that does not seem sinful to you. He's always just and fair. God sees the fullness of every thought you have. When God purposes something in his heart, he knows it will be done. When we purpose something in our hearts, he sees the fullness of that as well, whether it's good or evil. Also, when you admit your thoughts are wrong, God knows whether you truly repent when you say you are sorry or if you are merely sorry you got caught. Regardless of what you say to God, he knows whether it is the truth or not. He sees the fullness of what is in your heart and mind. Understanding this principle provided a big breakthrough for me, spiritually, and it will do the same for you. I will say it again because it's so important. God sees the end from the beginning. This is a very important truth to believe and understand when you are a young Christian. It will totally change your perspective about your relationship with God. If you have never embraced this truth, do so now. It will change your life. God created hell and heaven. He knows where you are heading right now. Sin is anything contrary to God's perfect will for your life in thought, purpose, or action. The righteous foundations and high standards of God will not be changed. Grace, however, has increased for the sake of those seeking righteousness by the Spirit. We read in Proverbs chapter 23, verses 6 and 7. This is in the book of Proverbs chapter 23. I'm reading verse 6. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. Verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, says he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. In the book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, revised edition in chapter 2, on A Good Foundation, on page 13, Joseph Hitchcock writes, what you believe in your heart rules you. Unless you take this teaching to heart and believe it to the point that it rules your life, you aren't going to receive the benefits God made available to you. Another key point is to refrain from listening to Satan or yourself that would say, I already know that. I've heard many believers make this comment, yet I know from the fruit in their lives that they are not walking in what I'm talking about. You must understand in your spirit that I am talking about constant fellowship and communion with God, hearing the Lord's instructions about everyday life, and being personally directed by the Spirit with Jesus as the literal functional Lord of your life. Now is the time to be working out your salvation in fear and trembling in all areas. Your obedience to the Holy Spirit is required to experience the Word of Life. How can you say you have handled the Word of Life if you have not made Jesus Lord of all? Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 15. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. I'm starting in verse 13. Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in that way. Verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. After repentance from dead works, you should have started your new life on the narrow way. Many do not get on the narrow way immediately because of all the things that they are serving in this life. Then when they try to enter later, the grace to hear runs out, and it's harder for them to hear his voice clearly. On the narrow way, your provision comes through asking God everything. So the priority is to maintain righteousness. The stumbling block for the narrow way is the functional lordship of Jesus Christ in all areas. Jesus has to become your whole life. He died for you, and he loves you. You can stay free from corruption by asking God everything like Jesus did. There is no democracy in heaven. If you take over the lordship following Christ, you have believed lies for the sake of your flesh. His grace is sufficient on the narrow way. On the broad way, serving two masters, you will eventually get a clear view of hell and destruction. False prophets use methods of hearing God so that they can still lean to their own understanding and serve two masters. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, verses 23 to 30. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, I'm reading verse 23. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Verse 24. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I know thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. Verse 25. And I was afraid, and went and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that which is thine. Verse 26. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I had sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Verse 27. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanges, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Verse 28. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. Verse 29. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have an abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he has. Verse 30. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The word talent in Strong's is number 5007. This is a neuter of a presumed derivative of the original form of another word meaning a balance, a supporting weight, that is, by implication, a certain weight, and thence a coin, or rather a sum of money, or a talent. Everyone is given a number of talents by God to balance or bear the pressures of life, and not serve two masters. This is a talent or ability to give you more time to study his word, get answers, or help others. Everyone has at least one talent, but what did you do with it? The talent belongs to God and can be taken away from you. You need that talent to be a doer of his word in situations and produce more talents. Those who are lazy use the grace as an occasion for the flesh and realize they have lost it when it stops working. In a fiery trial, they wake up just in time to realize that they were unwilling to use their talents in the way God intended and learn spiritually. This world is passing away, and those eating and drinking when Jesus comes back will be left behind. Faith without works is dead. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'm reading verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. In the Living Bible, 1 Timothy 6, verses 9 and 10 says, but people who long to be rich soon begin to do all kinds of wrong things to get money, things that hurt them and make them evil-minded and finally send them to hell itself. The love of money is the first step towards all kinds of sin. Some people have even turned away from God because of their love for it, and as a result have pierced themselves with many sorrows. Those using their talents to make money fall into temptation. You will have many sorrows serving money. Use the time you have now to hear and obey God instantly under any amount of pressure, if you are wise. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. In the book My Sheep Hear My Voice, revised edition in chapter 2, on A Good Foundation, on page 13, Joseph Edgecott also writes, please stop a moment to really hear what I'm saying. I'm not talking about only getting directions from God in the big decisions you have to make or hearing his voice when you are ministering to someone. God desires to speak to you about every decision you make, about every issue in your life, regardless of whether you would consider it important or insignificant. This includes the moment-by-moment decisions of your day. You can skim over this teaching and accept only the truths you want to hear. This will help you to a measure, but it will only be for a season, because God extends a measure of grace to each person who hears this message and desires to know God and walk with him. This grace is given so that God's children can taste and see that he is good. Do not presume that this means you have all the parts of the foundation in operation and therefore can ignore the other steps that are critical for establishing this teaching in your life. I'm warning you right now. This initial grace will run out and God will require you to obey every instruction that is set forth as part of your spiritual foundation. Hearing his voice clearly is not just a technique you learn for the sake of one or two areas of your life, but the product of a love relationship with God. Those who have a confidence in the flesh think that asking God everything is unnecessary. God's ways seem foolish to the carnal believer, especially if it involves some suffering or consistently denying self. If you try to understand the things of God with your carnal mind, you will remain ignorant. James wrote in James chapter 1, verse 25. This is in the book of James, chapter 1, I'm reading verse 25. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. God wants you to enjoy all things. However, you should experience God resisting or assisting you Do not seek rules because the flesh cannot be trusted. God will only give you what he allows by grace. Stay humble, examine yourself regularly, or you become a forgetful hearer and miss God's best. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6, and read verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Those who are wise pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, and other things with the gift of eternal life on the narrow way. Your ability to hear God will have to work under pressure to do everything perfectly. If you are holding on to anyone or anything else in this life, you are not holding on to eternal life. Those holding on to eternal life will ask God and please God in all areas. Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 8. This is in the book of Proverbs chapter 3. I'm reading verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Verse 8. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. If you trust God with all your heart, you will let his thoughts and ideas direct you. Listen to your imaginations and opinions, and you will serve sin again and not escape evil. Paul also wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 to 19. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6, I mean verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth richly all things to enjoy. Verse 18. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Verse 19. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Just because they can easily afford something, the rich still need to communicate with God. Sin is anything contrary to God's perfect will for your life in thought, purpose, or action. Do not be conformed to this world. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 to 8. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm reading verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Verse 8. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. In the Living Bible, 1 Timothy 6, 6 to 8 says, do you want to be truly rich? You already are, if you're happy and good. After all, we didn't bring any money with us when we came into the world, and we can't carry away a single penny when we die. So we should be well satisfied without money if we have enough food and clothing. If you are not content with your standard of living as a Christian, you have a problem with God. Let God promote you at the right time, as this will prove that you are rich in all things. Church growth is hindered in those not content with what they have. They want more and discard the rightly revealed word of truth for the sake of some earthly comforts. They are childish and never happy in a world where there is always a temptation to improve your standard of living without asking God. God uses the unnecessary pressures in this world and financial mistakes to cause deep brokenness to help his people in these last days get ready in time for his appearing. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 11 says, but as for you, O man of God, flee all these things, aim at and pursue righteousness, right standing with God, and true goodness, godliness, which is the loving fear of God and being Christ-like, faith, love, steadfastness, patience, and gentleness of heart. Here are two helpful milestones. Number one, your righteousness must exceed that of the Pharisees and Sadducees if you're pursuing it. Matthew 5 and verse 20. Number two, if you're pursuing godliness in Christ Jesus, then you will encounter some persecution eventually for speaking the truth in love. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. If you're pursuing faith, you also have to overcome hindrances too. James wrote in James chapter 4 and verse 3 and 4. This is James chapter 4 and reading verse 3. Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. Verse 4. You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. For more information on the hindrances to faith, please read the chapter in the book Light on Hindrances to Faith by Joseph Hedgecock. There are three major hindrances to faith. Number one, hidden agendas, seeking a solution without deep repentance. Number two, misdirected faith, faith in things other than God or idols. Number three, unbelief, rooted in lies you hold on to for the sake of the flesh. When you move back into the darkness, you are committing spiritual adultery. You have chosen friendship with this world above your love for Christ that you gain through repentance from dead works at salvation. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 to 34. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, I'm reading verse 31. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? Verse 32, for after these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Verse 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Thinking is dangerous. You will not overcome evil by taking any thought to your own well-being or quality of life. Maintain righteousness so you hear God and he will deliver you from evil. Large ministries seeking to serve two masses are responsible for a name it and claim it teaching that appeals to the flesh. Some have even been recorded saying, I believe it, and that settles it. They pick and choose the scriptures they think apply to their own situation and try to believe. If you can believe what God says, then you can receive. In any situation, you should be asking why you couldn't simply believe the truth. There are reasons. Those reasons can be identified and removed so you believe what God says. Doubt and unbelief are based on lies that you want to believe for the sake of your flesh. If you tried prayer and it did not work, try repentance. It works all the time. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 and 25. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, I'm reading verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you eat and what you shall drink, nor for the body, what you put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Do not be jealous or distracted by what others have. What you see with your eyes is passing away. If you're in right standing with God, you will always hear God when others around you cannot. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, I'm reading verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Verse 30, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Most are doing dead works to compensate for the fact that they have not used their talents as God intended, and are still lord of their own lives. Admit that your doubts and unbelief hindered you from entering the rest when he called you. Unbelief is like an anchor in the ground, stopping you from being led by the Spirit. Being yoked to Christ does not cause doubts or hurts, but exposes lies that you believe for the sake of the flesh. Through repentance, the truth God gave you will be established in your heart unless you have listened to the flesh. The lies and excuses for the sake of your flesh will stop his lordship being established. Jesus was only harsh with the intellectuals and religious leaders who were using their minds trying to come to the truth. You determine how you experience Christ. Jesus offers divine rest to those with a long sin list through repentance from dead works. To learn of him, you must yoke yourself to Christ. The pastor or leader cannot do this for you. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. This is in the book of Philippians chapter 4, and read verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Verse 2. I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Verse 3, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help these women which have labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. The word yoke fellow in Strong's is number 4805. It comes from another word which means to be co-yoked, that is figuratively as a noun, a colleague, probably rather as proper name, a Christian. You will lose some things in this world doing the work of the gospel, but you will gain eternal things of greater value on the way. Stand fast in the lordship of Christ by asking the Lord consistently in all areas, not just ministry. You will lose your joy if you stop following Christ. Those yoked to Christ do everything in moderation in this world and have no confidence in the flesh. John wrote in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 to 10. This is 1 John chapter 1, and reading verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. For more information about true repentance, please read chapter 10. Of the book My Sheep Hear My Voice, 2021 edition, by Joseph Hedgecock. If you resist conviction, you are feeding lies you want to believe for the sake of your flesh, and calling God a liar. Sin manifesting is a sign you have been serving sin. There is still a lot of unrighteousness in you, so deep repentance is required. Start by confessing your sin. We read in John 1, chapter 6 to 8. This is John's Gospel. Chapter 1, reading verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Verse 7. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Verse 8. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. God can see the end from the beginning and knows what you need to repent of now. He will not deny the truth. Conviction comes to warn you that sin is present and you need to repent to avoid the snares of the devil. John the Baptist was preaching repentance and experienced the word directing him in the wilderness. His food became wild locusts and honey. He yoked himself to God, and by not obeying would have experienced some humbling circumstances. He had to learn repentance first. His outward appearance was a result of conviction and obedience to the Spirit. The people coming had to confess their sin publicly and make a fresh start at the River Jordan. Each one had to enter the Promised Land personally again, not by walking across on dry land, but this time by being completely submerged in water as an act of repentance. We read in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 38 to 42. I'm reading Acts chapter 2, this is verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 39, For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Verse 40, And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Verse 41, Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Verse 42, And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayers. After his kingdom came on earth nearly 2,000 years ago, Peter warned everyone that they will not escape the corruption that is in this world using their minds trying to come to the truth. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. This is Ephesians chapter 2. I'm reading verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10, For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. No one receives the Holy Spirit through repentance from bad works. Only through repentance from dead works you will receive the promised Holy Spirit. So you can do the works by faith God planned for your life. He has the plan. Just listen, trust and obey, and agree to do the will of the Father by making Jesus Lord. We read in John chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. This is John's Gospel, chapter 1. I'm reading verse 16. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You will personally handle the word of life on the narrow way following Christ. The law was given to the Jews so that they could repent of more wickedness in their own hearts by reading the written word again and again. Those humbling themselves with a heart after God got grace. Those who used the grace for repentance also got more grace and truth to repent deeply. James wrote in James chapter 4, verses 6 to 10. This is James chapter 4 and verse 6. But he gives more grace. Wherefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify hearts, you double-minded. Verse 9. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. If you have been handling the word of life, you will have an abundance of grace by now. Submit to God before you resist the devil, because the problem is in you. The devil cannot sin for you. The devil is there because you chose to serve the lust of the flesh. He will keep you ignorant by helping you serve lust and the imaginations of your own mind. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. This is in the book of Romans chapter 10. I'm reading verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Verse 2. for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Verse 3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Verse 5, for Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which does those things shall live by them. Jesus did not hand out another 10 commandments, but grace and truth, so you can find out why God is resisting and assisting you. Grace and truth was given to learn under pressure on the narrow way. The disciples only had the Holy Spirit to remind them. They had to be sensitive or be corrected again and again through Christ and then by the Spirit. Only the meek would endure such a system of learning. Repent deeply, as truth will set you free from the misuse of your talents and using technology with the wrong priorities. The law came first because sin was increasing in the world. God chose a small nation, the Jews, and gave them the ministry of reconciliation. God's goodness was there to lead them in the way of righteousness by faith, deep repentance, and meekness. But they refused. James wrote in James chapter 1, verses 19 to 21. This is in the book of James chapter 1, verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Verse 20. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the ingrafted word which is able to save your souls. If you have received the Holy Spirit through repentance from dead works, by the Spirit go slowly. You cannot hear the word of truth when your life is moving fast, making decisions for your own life, for the sake of earthly gain that you cannot take with you. Make room for conviction and correction in your life that comes through others, your spouse, the Bible, and directly by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, I'm reading verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? Verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Those who only hear God in some areas, like ministry, doing good works, or prophecies, are deceiving themselves. If anyone cannot hear and obey God in all areas, they are living in darkness. Those carnally minded today bring a sacrifice of praise or ministry works because they do not know God. Those who are spiritual become a living sacrifice, yoked to Christ on the narrow way. Leaders trained today on the broad way are servants of hell and corruption because they use their minds most of the time to make decisions and encourage others to do the same. We read in John chapter 1, verses 11 to 14. This is John chapter 1, I'm reading verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Verse 13. Which are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse 14. And the word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus brought grace and truth for those who would believe the gospel and the authority you get in Christ. With Jesus as your first love, you will hear the right course of action in a period of temptation and be rewarded for your faith. He will not deny those determined to do what is right in complicated situations. We read in the Psalms 22, verses 3 and 4, This is in the Psalms, chapter 22. I'm reading verse 3. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Verse 4. Our fathers trusted in thee, and they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. No one can get to know him if they keep coming in and out of his presence. Carnal Christians can feel the presence of God in praise and worship in large gatherings when they humble themselves briefly and assume that God is happy with them. But they stop hearing his voice when they are drawn away by the lusts of the flesh and depart from the truth. He does not deliver them in complicated situations because they do not listen. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. When the grace runs out, many harden their hearts, resist conviction, so they only experience condemnation from living in the flesh. Carnal believers do not even know the difference between conviction and condemnation as a result. James wrote in James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. This is James chapter 1, I'm reading verse 14. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away by his own lusts and enticed. Verse 15. Then when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. By yielding to the lust of your flesh, you will sin, and that sin will separate you from God and experiencing his plan for your life. Instead of getting back in his presence, you may resist conviction and try to come to truth using your own mind. This is dangerous, as you'll believe lies and experience more condemnation. You'll not even be able to hear his voice until you first humble yourself and confess that you're walking in darkness. The Corinthians were operating in the gifts of the Spirit, but babes in Christ. They were immature, mainly hearing God in ministry under a low level of pressure. Never compare yourself with others. Always compare yourself to Christ, hearing his Father, who suffered and died for his enemies on that cross. If you are not on the narrow way, make a fresh start. Your mind will be renewed with God's wisdom. Keep your mind still with the peace of God while he purifies your heart and your faith. God knows how much pressure you can handle. If you come out of Christ at any point of pressure, you did not have the word of truth dwelling in all areas of your life, but a lie in your foundation instead that you accepted for the sake of your flesh. If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start, make him Lord, and live in the light, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. If you really want to submit to the Spirit by regular repentance, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow way. The broad road that leads to destruction looks good, and is signposted heaven this way. Many well-meaning good people attending church are on this road. I believe this book will help you. The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Today, I've been talking about handling the word of life. By now, you should be mature. By now, you should have many testimonies to tell of how God delivered you daily in everyday situations. You should have experienced his wisdom. Why not? Yoke yourself to Christ and use the gift of eternal life now that you're born again. Time has run out. We are in the last days. Use the gift of eternal life right up to the end of your life, and you will be faithful. Use your mind to make decisions, and you are rejecting what Christ did for you on that cross so that you could depend on God yourself. Jesus paid the price for you to handle the word of life and help others. Let me pray with you. Father, I give you thanks for those who are listening to this message, and they have listened to your word, and they know they're not where they should be. But if they will make a fresh start right now, humble themselves, admit that they've not really been on that narrow way, and maybe something in their hearts is still there that holding them back, I pray if they will humble themselves, you will give them fresh grace so they can get back on that narrow way and make good progress in these last days, because your grace is going to increase enormously for those who believe in you and trust in you. I ask that in Jesus' name. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via a link to a website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. Please get in touch. It would be lovely to hear from you. God bless you, and thank you for listening.